Forecast for today, plenty of sunshine with a high in the low 70s. Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmeling today announcing the arrest of 39-year-old Miguel Cruz and a warrant for the arrest of 36-year-old Elias Burgos in connection with what he called the brutal execution of 39-year-old Juanita Zrat, the woman's body found by Schmeling along Highway K in the town of Raymond on February 7th in the year 2000. During a press briefing, the sheriff praised his department's investigative team for not giving up on finding closure for the family.
Juanita left behind three beautiful children, two daughters and a son. I recently had the privilege of speaking with Juanita's son, and he expressed his family's gratitude for the tenacity of my investigative team's efforts. They are anxious for closure, while at the same time somber when they think about their mother's last moments. With that said, the Zadrock family is asking for privacy.
Zadrock was a Milwaukee County resident. Cruz arrested recently in Florida. Burgos believed to be somewhere in Puerto Rico. The press briefing also indicated that information from a Milwaukee County homicide investigation provided breaks in the Racine County cold case. A crowd near 250 showing up at Knapp Elementary School to learn more about and react to the state's threat to break up the Racine Unified School District if the employee handbook doesn't meet Act 10 provisions and the latest test scores that are due in November get another failing grade. State Representative Peter Barca and fellow Democrat Corey Mason holding what has been the only public hearing to date on the item that was placed into the budget last minute by the Joint Finance Committee. UW-Madison Law School faculty Professor Julie Underwood called Racine Unified a great example of a desegregated district. She believes the proposal has illegalities at both the state and federal levels.
Can we find some way to improve our schools that actually improves our schools for all children and doesn't improve a situation for some children at the expense of other children?
In the public comments, Keith Cruz said this was done in Michigan, and he said the outcome creates even more problems for communities and for students.
So what ends up happening, the state comes in, they take over the building, over the school district, they sell off the assets, and then the strange things happen. The school district kind of disintegrates because those that can, that have the means, go to the other school districts. And so that school district is left worse off than when it started.
Teachers Union President Angelina Cruz calling it a racist attack on Racine that can be prevented with a cooperative response. The first step by Racine Unified to respond to that threatened breakup by the state will come tonight. A vote on the revised employee handbook and providing compliance with those provisions of Act 10. Superintendent Lolly Hawes noted previous 5-4 decisions were against it. She calls this vote tonight critical for the community, attracting teachers tough enough in competing with other districts. Hawes says this is not helping.
We have teacher vacancies and we're trying to hire teachers, and all they read about Racine Unified is that big chunks of the community might withdraw. Who will come and teach here? You know, how will we fill our positions? How will we keep morale high? What parents considering moving here or some other community would move to Racine knowing that, well, it might not even be Racine Unified in a couple years?
She also pointed out this would also not be lost on many students, either directly or through parents and guardians, and that could hurt the learning process.
We're very concerned about the turmoil, the disruption, the stress, and the distraction, frankly, away from what we should be working on, which is creating the best school district we can for our kids.
The full interview with Superintendent Lolly Hawes, done with our partners at Gateway Public Radio, is available on their webpage. The Kenosha Joint Services Board oversees Joint Dispatch and other shared law enforcement services at the county's Public Safety Building. They begin discussion this week on the proposed 2018 budget. Board Chairman Jeff Gentz telling supervisors recently, one area that's getting a close look is compensation for emergency dispatchers. Many, he said, are leaving for higher-paying jobs. Says the number of dispatchers is at its lowest point ever. It's not a new issue, though. He points out past problems have been just trying to keep up with the turnover.
Even early on in my career, I formed a subcommittee and had dispatchers, management, city, county people on there to try to figure out how we could shorten the span of training. And it's like hiring deputies. It's a tough thing.
The Joint Services Board meeting Wednesday afternoon. A Pleasant Prairie man wearing a State Department of Corrections electronic monitoring ankle bracelet apprehended in connection with a reported domestic abuse matter involving his girlfriend because he was wearing that GPS monitor. Police officers in Prairie learning Martise Gaithier was gone by the time they got to a home in the 1800 block of 104th Street. Contact with the state led DOC to call up the bracelet number. They tracked him to a nearby farm field and a tree line at Highway 165 and Sheridan Road. A perimeter search, including a Prairie PD K-9 team, was aided by DOC's update of Gaither's position, and that's what led to his apprehension. Racine's Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization, simply known as HALO, has a space problem, and it needs more resources to meet growing demand. The organization's website points out there are 120 beds, but they're often at capacity, and several times this summer it has been overflow. Director Gay Lorenzen noting that they've also had close to a dozen families, up to 30 minor children since early April. If you can help with a donation, no matter how big, no matter how small, www.haloinc.org/donate or the snail mail address is HALO at 2200 DeCoven Avenue in Racine. Local obituaries, Frank Bear of Racine at the age of 80, passed away September the 6th at home. Friends and relatives could meet up with the family Tuesday, tomorrow, at St. Paul the Apostle Catholic Church on Spring Street in Mount Pleasant. It'll begin at 9:30, the Mass of Christian Burial, to follow at 11. The Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home serving the family. And Eleanor White of Racine, at the age of 95, passed away September the 1st at Aurora Medical Center in Kenosha. She was a wife of 71 years to her husband Clarence. Funeral services to be held Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. Friends and relatives can meet up with the family at the funeral home beginning at 9:30. Tax incremental district number 21 in the city of Racine is being proposed around Regency Mall. It also incorporates components of the new tax incremental financing assistance policy. City Development Director Amy Connolly noting to the Redevelopment Authority, the mall requested a $3.95 million increment over 27 years for two phases of a four-phase plan to transform the facility. It has a 22% vacancy rate, but she said the recommendation is $3.5 million and 13 years on the TID.
The reason for the limit on the cap on that is because there are future road improvements planned for that tax incremental district. There are transportation amenities needed. There are infrastructures that are needed per the TID plan. So we allocated that to the mall property, and we subtracted out about $450,000.
And she said it was felt that this ought to be an annual pay-as-you-go project.
There's really not a lot of additional building, additional square feet, so their ability to sort of generate new taxes may be limited for up to 3 years. So they asked us to go to 13 years to give them a 3-year ramp-up period. And so we're looking at the maximum incentive being a pay-as-you-go annual payment calculated annually based on their performance for a maximum of 13 years of 90% of the tax increment generated on their properties that are owned by Racine Mall LLC, which is Whole Group.
One agreement component, perhaps a little more glaring than others with Hall Property Group, involves property assessments. Connolly noting they will not be challenged like in past years.
They're not going to protest or challenge property value to the Board of Review or Circuit Court, so that allows us to make sure that they're able to keep the taxes at a reasonable rate and go along with our assessor's value of the property. That they agree to a minimum assessed value of $8.9 million.
Which the TID proposal for Regency Mall is up before the Racine Finance and Personnel Committee at 5 o'clock this evening at City Hall. The Kenosha County Division of Highways with two resurfacing projects coming up in the village of Salem Lakes. Work scheduled to begin tomorrow to repave County Trunk Highway JF from 259th Avenue to Highway 83. County Trunk SA scheduled to be resurfaced between Highway AH and 83 beginning Monday, September the 18th. Both will have one lane remaining open during the paving operations and traffic will be flagged. Both projects expected to be completed by the end of September if the weather allows. Wisconsin Transportation Development Association Director Craig Thompson says a $79 million cut to the state highway rehabilitation program, as recommended by the Joint Finance Committee, that is worrisome given that Badger State roads already rank 49th in the country.
This particular program really is going to affect state highways. So if you live in a part of the state where you had a state highway that was scheduled to have some work done to keep it in good repair, it may very well, you know, be delayed now.
A 2016 Wisconsin DOT study found the number of state highway miles rated in poor or worse condition would go up to 93% by fiscal year 2027 if funding for the rehab program stays at current levels. And in Kenosha County, this coming Saturday from 8:30 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, it'll be the annual cleanup of the Pike River. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff with details.
Volunteers of all ages are needed to help remove log jams and pick up trash and debris along the river. The Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association, in conjunction with Kenosha County Parks and other partners, is again sponsoring the project. 125 tires and 100 yards of trash have been removed from the river from Lake Michigan to Petrifying Springs Park since the project began 6 years ago. Organizer Jim Zonlek says they've even pulled out computers, lawnmowers, trash barrels, and rugs. Those interested in volunteering for the cleanup or donating food and water for the volunteers is asked to contact Zonlek at ssiz00@yahoo.com or by calling 262-620-1680.
The Racine Fire Department could be in line to get a drone if the city allows a grant application to be submitted to Firehouse Subs. It's on the Racine Finance and Personnel Committee's agenda at 5 o'clock this evening, listed as advanced aerial video technology for both firefighting and hazmat operations, also in time of natural disaster, and for such big events like Party on the Pavement, the Ironman Triathlon, and Fourth Fest activities. No city match should be involved with the $21,000 grant, which increases the likelihood it'll be recommended for approval by the committee to the council. Another fire department item requested permission to sign a clinical agreement with Gateway Technical College for the training of students in the paramedic program. This has been taking place since the year 2000. Liability is covered since they do ride along with the city's paramedics. The agreement is revenue neutral. That means no extra cost to the city. In Burlington, the city, as of tomorrow, September the 12th, adjusting compost site availability to between 3 and 8 p.m. on Tuesdays and 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon on Saturdays through the last Saturday in November. City leaders, ironically, talking recently about limited hours, not having to pay staff employees overtime, and also not finding and maintaining somebody for a job that offers a lot of weekend hours. City Administrator Karina Walters telling the aldermen that the staff was educated as to just how much material goes into that facility and what other communities have in place in terms of their schedules.
What staff did was call several municipalities surrounding the city to identify what their hours of operation were. The majority of the surrounding municipalities have 2 days. So what the recommendation was to do was move it down to 2 days. And monitor it.
He says the adjustment from 4 days down to two with the monitoring will allow for some adjustment if it's needed.
I think for a short-term program, this will work. If we've got staff out there clicking and seeing how many people are actually coming in on Tuesdays and Saturdays, I think we'll have a good volume. And staff knows to be taking counts of vehicles.
And she indicated that filling that job has been a little bit more difficult than you might think.
We could not find a suitable candidate to fill the position. We had a candidate. They were there a very short amount of time. And then there was another candidate. So we are having difficulty filling the position, which is why we had staff. We had staff, the seasonal help, filling. And when seasonal help couldn't be there, then we were paying the overtime.
Walter's also indicating that the new director of public works could offer an assessment of the situation, including the vacant position. In Mount Pleasant tonight, the village board set to meet at 6:30 on the agenda. A request by trustees Hansen and Feast for discussion and possible action over concerns related to board behavior during the public comment portion of meetings. And there will be another attempt to try to fill that vacant trustee position. More than 50 employers scheduled to be on hand for the next Kenosha County Job Fair, which is this Wednesday afternoon at Gateway Technical College's Madrigano Auditorium. It'll start at 1, go till about 4 p.m. Free admission. Those attending will have an opportunity to meet up with potential employers and learn more about available positions. If you're a job seeker, bring your resume because past history has shown some of the attendees can be hired right there on the spot. And with the U.S. ranking number 14 on this year's World Happiness Report, which is down a spot from the previous edition, the personal finance website WalletHub conducted an in-depth analysis of this year's happiest states in America, looking at such key indicators as income level, sports participation, and emotional health. The happiest state in America, according to WalletHub, Minnesota, Utah, Hawaii, California, Nebraska round out the top five. Wisconsin comes in ninth. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.